takes time to get or to understand, and it seems to me it's never always kept in mind, because it is quite uncommon in our own behavioral activity. It is that in our meditation, what is at stake, what does matter, is not the experience, but it is the way we relate to the experience. And of course, that is very different from our daily life, which means that it is not an experience of agitation, sadness, uneasiness, or tranquility, joy. That does not make the value of meditation. And we have the tendency to believe a good meditation will be tranquility, calmness, and a bad meditation will be agitation and uneasiness. Because that's exactly how we see our experience in daily life. A good experience in daily life is something that is pleasant. A bad experience is something that is unpleasant. And usually our day are checked, evaluated through that. Oh, many nice experiences, what a nice day. Many difficult experiences, what a bad day. And that's fine, we understand that. But when we come to meditation, if we are stuck with this kind of attitude, then we cannot understand what is at stake in meditation. What is at stake in meditation is not nice experience against difficult experience. What is at stake in meditation is freedom from experience. So then there's another criteria of value, which is freedom. And for that, it means that what we are dealing with is the way we relate to our experience and not to experiences. I remember one of my teachers has repeated so many times, you know, that what matters is not the experience, is the way we relate to experience. I have heard that so many times, and I think it did not click. Yes, it's nice what he said, and then I will sit down and hope for peacefulness, tranquility, and fight against agitation, sleepiness, and following exactly what he said. I mean, the words are not difficult to understand, but the attitude is exactly where freedom lies. Freedom lies in the attitude, not in the experience. Somebody free is not somebody that has a nice life, beautiful, no difficulties, you know, it's always nice weather, not too hot, not too cold. That's not what freedom is about. And we know certainly in our life we have friends or parents or people that we know that can deal with difficult situations, and they feel that they can stay in a sense quite balanced and not completely disturbed. And some other people, the smallest thing is disturbing, then they're completely upset, you know. So what is wrong? And they tell you, well, that's really not so important, but how come it's not important? That's not you, okay, you just... So you go to somewhere else. But so in meditation, we have to be aware of that. The relationship to the experience, the way we relate to the experience. So I want to speak a little bit about that, trying to give life to that. The other day, quoting Gerhard Edelmann, the Nobel Prize of Medicine, where he said that the higher state of consciousness is to be conscious of being conscious. It's maybe very abstract, and I think it's not something difficult, that I should look at myself when I'm doing, and then suddenly you don't know where you are. You are the doer, the one who is trying to find out who is the doer. It's very simple. When one hears a bird, and then one can be lost in the hearing of the bird. Oh, that's a nice sound. Or one can be aware of being hearing. So that's simple. Oh, I'm just hearing. Or remembering, I don't know, what has happened last month. I can be lost in thinking about last month and this and that. And suddenly I realize, I am remembering, I am thinking about last month. So the difference is, in this experience, one is aware of thinking, one is aware of hearing, rather than just being aware of the bird or being aware of the memories. So not something difficult, doesn't need a complex position to be able to be aware of that. So that's what we call mindfulness, that's what we call presence. I may be walking, and I may be thinking about so many things, but suddenly I'm aware of being walking. So that's mindfulness, not just to be walking. And I think that's not difficult to understand. But I don't like to take things for granted. And to believe that is a matter of practice, of habituation, that we can be present or not, I think it's not very interesting. That if I practice more and more the way I'm practicing, then I will be more present. You know, it just takes some more hours or weeks, months or years of practice, then I will be more present. I think if it's not because we are practicing with the wrong attitude for a long time that it will become a right attitude. You know? It's not because you go in the wrong direction for some time that suddenly it will be the right direction. So what the question is there is, why are we not present? Why? It's not because the friends around are making it difficult for us to be present. What's happening? Why are we not more present? We can be sometimes for a little while with something, with some experiencing the body or breathing or whatever, and then suddenly we are not here anymore. We are lost in thought, in memories, in judgment, evaluation, in doubts. So in this attitude, we say, well, I need more practice. If I practice more, maybe tomorrow will be better. At the end of the week, will be much better. And I've been practicing a lot like that. When I say a lot, it's not 1 week, you know, it's 3 months like that. Having the wrong attitude and believing one day I will be present, and after 3 months, like you do here, 3 months, I was not more present at the beginning than at the end. I was a little bit more calm, of course, because there's not much to do, so the mind is starting to be a bit quieter. But with respect to understand what being present or mindful is, there was no understanding. There was the same confusion the last day that there were the first day. And I still, I guess, when I left, I still felt I need more practice. Which I did. Certainly with the same attitude, and sometimes I get bored of this attitude and I wonder, maybe there's something that is not exactly the proper attitude. Maybe there's a reason why I'm not present. So we come to a retreat, we know more or less what it is about. Newcomers maybe a bit less, people who have practiced already, yeah, they know what it is about. I mean, sitting, walking, and listening a bit to those people, so we know what it is about. But when we come here, we know it is not going to be very much fun. There will be no dance, or I don't know, playing volleyball or whatever. And nobody expects that, I hope so. So if we come, we know that it is because we are willing to be present. We are going to explore, to be mindful. So what we are interested is in mindfulness, being present, to be a bit more alive in our life. That is our intention. And then we sit down with this intention, and then we are very scattered. And not always, but for some, more or less, very scattered. But our plan was not to be scattered, our plan was to be present. So who'll fault is that? You know, who is doing something wrong there? Nothing so difficult to understand about being present. It's not difficult. Yet, when we practice, we feel that there is some kind of difficulty. It's not exactly what we would like. I would like to be present. I'm sure if we were checking, nearly everybody would say, yes, it was so nice. I sit down, I'm present, and then the gong is ringing, and I went present for hearing the gong, and good, you know, I'm signing for that. But so why is it not happening? Why? Again, it's not a matter of habituation. I think the question may arise, are we willing really to be present? I may have the intention, yes, it's nice to be present, and I put some quality in this being present, to it's peaceful and it's nice and it's whole and things like that, which is not wrong actually. But when we sit down, suddenly the question may arise, are we really willing to be with what is there? You know, I sit down and there is maybe a bit away of bodily sensation, breathing or hearing, and suddenly I noticed that, well, I don't know how long I was away. I was in the past holidays or the next holidays, and I did not really decide that, but I found myself there. What was I doing there, you know, past holidays or future activity? I come back to the body to practice my meditation, and maybe after a little while, again, I found myself in another place. But it's not really I decided, yes, I want to remember my holidays or to review what I will need to do next week. Yeah. So it seems something is happening that we do not seem to choose completely. Well, we have to say it's not the neighbor choosing, so I mean we still have to accept that we certainly are choosing somewhere. If we are not present, it is because we are not willing to be present. Because it's not the fault of somebody else. So that's changed a little bit the picture. I'm not present because I'm not really willing to be present. Now we may wonder, what does it mean? Why I'm not really willing to be present, because I came here for that. Because to be present means that we are going to meet whatever is arising. I'll give you an example. I may sit down, I close my eyes. It's okay, I feel a little bit the sensation in my chest, in my abdomen. That seems quiet, and my mind is not too agitated. Maybe suddenly I discover I was in memories. I come again to feel the breathing and the bodily sensation. And then I find myself somewhere else. It's not that at one point I decide I'm going to look in the future, at one point I'm going to go in the past. I find myself there. But then I come back to the breathing, and maybe suddenly I realize there is something slightly disturbing in my chest. Some heaviness, something that is not so pleasant. And when I start to be in touch with that, I may discover in the chest there was some heaviness, and finally maybe some sadness that was there. So the way that I was not willing to be present and escaping, it was because somehow I felt a little bit this area which I did not want to be in contact. I did not want to be open to what could be present, so I escaped. So the willingness to be present means also the willingness to be experiencing what is arising. And that which is arising, we cannot choose. I can choose to be aware of hearing or bodily sensation, that some aspect I can choose, but suddenly something else can arise, emotion or something like that. So in many ways we escape the present situation because we are not completely willing to be in touch with that which is disturbing us. Now we may wonder, so what is that inside of us that can be disturbing? I came to be present, fine, to nice experience. I had some experience home or in whatever other practice, and that was nice. I thought, wow, that if I can have that for 7 days will increase, that's going to be fantastic. And I come here, and rather than going up, it goes down. So now I'm losing my practice, you know. It's something that we can really experience. You know? Nothing strange. I remember listening to a professor of psychoanalysis in Lyon who mentioned that Freud, during all his life, he said that he believed in this principle of pleasure, that what we were motivated by as a human was the quest for pleasure, satisfaction. And he felt very strange, because when he had some patient, what they were describing was not their beautiful memories, it was so nice to be by the sea, but on the contrary, they were always describing and being in touch with what was difficult, very difficult. And that seems, for him, not being really in a accordance to what he thought. So why the difficult memories are rising again and again and again, not the nice memory. So it was something that was disturbing for nearly all of his life. And at the end, when he was in London, he wrote on a small sheet of paper, he said, those things are rising again and again because they need to be integrated. They are not integrated, therefore they come again and again, like something that has not been digested. So it comes in order to be integrated. And that, of course, what we meet in our practice, things that we have not integrated, difficult emotions, situations that we could not really integrate, sometimes because they are from the past, where we are not the capacity of integrating it. Sometimes in the early childhood, there was no possibility for us to integrate those difficulties. The best way was to push them away. But it seemed that having not been integrated, they stay within us, and they are there disturbing us. So when in meditation, it seemed that since we are not doing something special, we are not very busy, not even busy just to be with breathing, so suddenly we start to be in touch, or if you like, those things that have not been integrated, slowly they start to appear. Why? Because they need to be integrated. So it's like a healing process, but like any healing process, it is also sometimes demanding and not just pleasant. So that's why we understand at times that we are not so willing to be present. But it is possible also that we rather think about our past or our future. As some people mentioned in the group today, sometimes we think about things which are even not interesting. It's very boring, you know. And yet it does its purpose, because it take us away from the present situation, anything but not to be present. And when we check where we are, it's not just only the best holidays, sometimes it's something so uninteresting. We may wonder why do we want to bring that to mind, you know? Yet we do. So one important aspect of the practice essentially is to be aware a time of the unwillingness to be present. And that's not a mistake. It's not that we should be willing to be present. And who says so? Who said, I should be willing to be present? There is so many difficulties. Oh, let's go there. No. Nobody said we should be willing to be present. But maybe if there is a should, we should be aware of willing or not. Because if we are not willing to be present and we try to be present, this is so difficult and tiring and exhausting, you know. I cannot meditate because, of course, if I want to be present and I don't want to be present, this is very painful, very painful. So one important aspect is to be aware of this unwillingness at times. And then I'm present to this unwillingness, and therefore there I start to be present. To get an example, if we fall on the ground, the only way to come up is by touching the ground, and then we can push the ground and come up. You cannot start to come to standing before you have touched the ground. That is not possible. You have not yet touched. I'd rather go in the other direction. Doesn't work, and maybe for some people, but most of us does not work. So what we need to do is really to fall on the floor, on the ground, and then suddenly we can use the support from the floor, we use the support from the ground in order to come up to standing. And it's the same, we use the awareness or the unwillingness, mindfulness of the unwillingness as a ground from which you can become present. And I think that is very important when we use this ground of the unwillingness, and there we are with what's happening now. I'm unwilling to be present, and from that ground then I can choose. Yes, I'm unwilling, and then what's happening? But this unwillingness is not always expressed in such a clear way, I don't want. We use avoiding strategy, and that's the ground also, not just the pure unwillingness, which is not so clear, but the ground of the strategy we are using in order to avoid to be with what is there. And this strategy we can describe then maybe through three aspects. There is aversion. I don't want to feel that. Again, it's maybe not expressed in such a clear way, but this resisting, like to go into a cold water, you know, I don't want that. Then there is a desire for something else, you know, or attachment to something, but desire for something else. And there is also a confusion. We are not running to past and future, but we substitute to the present experience, we substitute a story about the present experience. So we are not really in touch, we are just in touch with the experience about, the description about the experience, or the commentary, or the evaluation. So those are three main strategies in order not to be present. So aversion, we can feel this pain or difficult emotion, difficult mental state. Sometimes they are not so dramatic, some sleepiness or agitation or impatience. And then immediately, I don't want to experience that. So I try not to feel it really, or there is boredom. So I want to escape, then I don't say I want to escape, but immediately we are already into something else. So here it is the wish not to experience what's happening now, the resistance of experiencing what's happening now. So we resist. And sometimes we come back to breathing, to the chest area, to the abdomen, yet we don't want to feel it. You know? So it's very strange. It's a kind of a difficult situation. We come back to the body, yet we don't really want to feel it. So it's there's a lot of tension, and we lose a lot of energy. Sometimes meditation can be like a battle, you know, if we decide to fight against ourselves. And when we decide to fight against ourselves, there is no winner. But what is important is to be aware that we are engaging into a battle. So I want to be present, but I don't want to feel that, you know. I want to be present, but I don't want to feel that which is happening now. So aversion is, I think, easy to understand. Can be sometimes to pain, difficult pain. I mean, of course, we can move that one aspect, but we cannot always just move and the pain goes away. Sometimes pain are a little bit more complex, and moving does not do it. So at this time, not about judging the aversion or something like that, is being present to the aversion, taking the aversion as a ground. Yes, I don't want to feel that, I'm resisting, and that's where I can be present. Because that's true, there is aversion there. So taking at this time aversion as a ground. Sometimes there is desire. There can be of many kinds. Holidays, you know, next holidays, and all they can be for other people, you know, oh, there should be so much pleasure in that person, you know, with sexual desire. Like, wow, this person, it's really, if I was with this person, that will be it, you know, will be so fantastic. And here, there's a confusion. We believe that there is some kind of pleasure or satisfaction in the other person that. I should go and get that pleasure in the person. But there is no pleasure in any person. The pleasure can, of course, come from a reaction to a situation. Of course, there is pleasure to be found in the connection with another person. That's not the question. But the fact that we believe, we project that onto the other, so there is fascination. Believing that the pleasure or satisfaction is there, not understanding that we project that in the other person. Sometimes we have not even met this person. We don't know if there's very, very much pleasure to be found there. You know, who knows? But what we project is really there. And that is a projection which, of course, anticipates the future. See the future in a certain way. So we can just be aware of the design and what I'm really looking for is a satisfaction, is pleasure, which is fine, but there is confusion there. And place it in the future, and it's painful. Holidays, other person, this is quite clear, although that can be very strong sometimes. But sometimes it's much closer to the experience, it's a meditative experience that we would like to have a bit better. This experience, but a bit quieter, more clear, so it's more difficult to recognize because it has the appearance of the actual experience, but slightly it's slightly improved, you know, like with Photoshop or something like that. So the slight improvement of the experience, and that's what we would like to experience. So I'm not really being willing to explain the quietness or whatever. I want this improved situation. And this experience that has been transformed, this is imaginary, it's not the reality. And then I cannot be present because I try to experience something which is not here. So that the more subtle way that the desire can work, and it can work at many levels. It can be subtle experience, very subtle experience. This anticipation of something a bit clearer, a bit better, can always be there and need to be recognized. And linked with that sometimes is attachment. There is an experience of deep peace and tranquility and calm, and then I hold on to that, and this holding on to that and make it solid, fix it, and in a sense when I'm holding to calmness, tranquility, I'm holding to a representation of the experience, not to the experience itself, because we cannot hold to an experience. So there's a representation, a conceptualization, calmness, tranquility, so nice, holding to that, and then I'm not really in touch with the experience, and then it's not to be really present. And at this time, in the same way, the ground is to be aware of desire or attachment. That where I land, if I can land it, oh, there is desire, there is expectation for something else, then I can be present. Because that is what's happening. What's happening, it is that there is desire or attachment. So it's not that we need to fight against the strategy that takes us away. Is rather to take the responsibility for the strategy, to be present to the strategy, and then we are not anymore being misled by them. We are not anymore buying into those strategies. If I take impatience, for example, I think it's... I think it's a very good example. I try to find something very similar, but in impatience. So impatience may be very painful. It may make us, I want to move, I should move, and can feel that in the body and in the mind. So we may try to concentrate more on breathing to bring tranquility, to fight against impatience with the breathing or something like that. But what I find so striking, if you take impatience as a ground of the experience, the ground that from which you can raise, and then you see impatience being experienced in the present, it is so interesting. Because how can you experience impatience in the present? When there is nothing next, what does it mean, impatience? So suddenly it becomes like a dance in the present, you know, those movements, but it does not push you anywhere, it does not contract, it's not anymore conditioning, it's just impatience. And that's it. And there is deep peace in being aware of the impatience. Not because I tried to promote something different, but I was up to the situation with impatience. And impatience is not too dramatic, so it's interesting also to explore that. Impatience in the present. Precipitation, you know. Always wanting to go there a bit faster, you know. But if you put that in the present, it's so interesting, there's nothing next, so you are just there, you know, with this. It's like the Giacometti walker, you know, it's a complete presence. So it's not that we need to get rid of those, but to find how it can be the ground of our presence. Now the last one is confusion. So with confusion we don't really need to go to the past or to the future, but rather than being experiencing what is here now, we substitute speaking about the experience. I'll take this example which I have taken often, but I think it's very clear. Some people go and visit somebody in the hospital, a person that is in a poor situation. Let's say a car accident, and I don't want to bring something too dramatic, a small car accident, anyway. But of course the person is in the hospital, so usually not really for pleasure, so. But if the person cannot face the situation, like cannot face the person in suffering, so what the person may do, you know, the person may come and I brought you some flower, or do you have a vase? So I go there and run and bring the flowers, and then do you need some water? And go out and bring some water. You want the newspaper? You go out and bring the newspaper. And then when finally you have no other thing but to sit down in face of this person, you say, no. So how did it happen? Then you speak around, not, you know, how do you feel, you know, is it okay? Do you feel pain? No, you speak about the car, but if you had taken the car of your husband or wife, and you know, it's bigger car, so maybe, can you imagine so many ways you pretend to be interested, but you avoid. So we can, in our meditation, be the same, you know, an evaluation and comparison and this and that and yes, and I try to feel that, and you know, a bit more of that, and this, and yes, I think it's because I had a problem with my shoulder. And, Well, I wonder what it is all about, and is it really useful, this stuff, you know, this vipassana, this meditation, you know, and so in some sense, of course, it's good to doubt sometimes, but if you doubt when you try to experience it, you don't experience it, so of course, you can even not evaluate the practice. So there is many ways that we pretend to be present, but we avoid. Maybe also we can try to be in touch with the body, to expand the body through an image of the body. So I try to feel some part of the body, abdomen and or chest, but actually I'm just in an image of that area of the body, and I don't feel it, and it's boring. I try to be in touch, and I try, but I'm not in touch because I am with an image and not with the body as it's felt. And this is not, it's like life, it's not life. So in many ways that we avoid the present situation, not running away, we know we are not supposed to do that, but we run here, we run around the situation. So I gave a simple example, but I think we can recognize those. Here the last retreat was better, you know. Or sometimes we can say, well, I think this is not a good time for me in the year to meditate. Another time will be much better. This is too hot. Or, yes, when it's colder, it's much better, you know. Yes, and next time, or some people plan, you know, next time I'll do 10 days. And yes, 10 days, what can I take 10 days? You know, I can speak of those. I've been through those so many times, so I don't need to ask other people for example. You know, it's so funny to be in a retreat and planning the next retreat. So next retreat you can plan the next one. So I'm good. You know. Some people, when I teach in France, sometimes they come and they ask, you know, okay, can I read books? You know, not novels, usually. I mean. So, Manual of Meditation. So, you come to practice, but you want to read the Manual of Meditation. But yeah, home it will be easier to practice, you know. And we understand that. It's not so strange. You know, those people are not so strange, because sometimes we also believe, yes, if I didn't check there and there. Because, of course, the information we can accumulate, you know, wow, I got so much information. So we feel I got something. Here we come, we sit down, we cannot accumulate anything. At the end, you know, you can go home, and what can you show, you know? What did you get there? Nothing. Look, now I understand this technique, you do this and that, can you, I will show you that. No, there's nothing that you can accumulate. You know? And this non-accumulation is so important, because being cannot be accumulated. Doing, getting information that we can accumulate, and it's good. We need information to be able to work. But suddenly here we are not with doing something to accomplish, we are just with being. And being we cannot accumulate. Being we cannot just taste it in the moment, every moment. So what we get in a retreat, if we want to speak in those terms, before you all run away, you know. So it is a sensitivity that we start to understand how we avoid, and our avoiding is not so rich. So we get the taste for, if I am here with the experience, there is something that is has so much value. The totality of my being now, that is so fantastic. It's through any kind of experience. So what we develop here, the taste, the sensitivity, not the accumulation. So I think it is quite important to take this ground, this attitude of aversion, desire for something else, or attachment, or evaluation, as a ground of our being present. We are aware when they are present. Sometimes they are not, and that's fine. But when they are there, rather than suddenly realizing and fighting, you know, we say, okay, that's how I feel resisting. And suddenly I am present and there is no more resisting. I feel this reaching out for something. And when I'm really in this reaching out, I'm fully present there. So the driving force is gone. So if there is something that we can, or that we practice, is really being aware of our attitude. We can check at some time, am I okay with this experience? Yeah? Sometimes I'm getting tired or bored or frustrated, but am I okay with what's happening now? Most of the time we'll understand, no, I'm not okay, I would like something else, you know. It's normal, the way we function usually, yeah? I rather would like something different. Better or not that. And at times we can say yes, but not because the experience is nice, just because there's a proper contact and we say it doesn't matter. Am I okay with what's happening? Doesn't matter. It's okay. Not because I'm not in touch anymore, not because I become insensitive, on the contrary, because I'm concerned or in touch with something much deeper than just, you know, the discomfort or the happiness. I'm touching something so much deeper, maybe the freedom. And it's quite striking at time when you say, you know, something is difficult, would I rather be without it? It's, no, doesn't matter. I don't care, because this is not a problem. And something is very nice, deep peace and joy. What would happen if that did disappear? It's okay, no problem. That's not what is at stake. There's a sense of freedom and openness that is much beyond the sense of happiness or difficulties. And that, I think, what give for us the food for our trust in the practice. Then we start to see, yeah, there's a freedom that can be experienced, whatever the experience may be. It does not depend on that. So meditation is not about being smart in bringing more happy feeling and getting rid of unhappy feeling. It is more about being free from all the experience arising, because we're in touch with something much deeper. I like to tell a story to end this talk. I think it's related. I'm not so sure, but I like the story, so it's how you can connect that. I try to pronounce the word properly, so you will follow me. It's a story that Martin Buber is telling in his book, The Way of Man, which I think is such a beautiful book, you know. So it's a story about one Hasid, okay, that was a disciple of a student of the rabbi of Lublin, and he had been chosen to undergo through a fast from one Shabbat to another one. So no food and no drinking. So the Friday, it was about the end, 1 hour just before the end, he really felt so thirsty. So he said, wow, I really should drink, I should drink. So he took a cup and went to the well to get some water. And then he said, no, just 1 hour, and I will just run this 1 week of work, you know, just in 1 hour. I said, no, I'm not going to drink. So he walked away and then he felt, wow, so proud, you know, wow, I did it. So I'm not falling into just drinking. That's so fantastic. Then he realized, ah, I'm so arrogant, so proud, you know, wow, I better drink water, because it's much better to drink water rather than being arrogant. So he went to the well to drink water, but he was not thirsty anymore. So when he came, he went to see his teacher, you know, the teacher, when he saw him, he said, well, it's childish play, you know, you're just playing around, you know, it's not serious, your business. So Martin Buber wondered, I said, well, he's very hard with his disciple that spent 7 days, you know. So he wondered, what was the matter, actually, what was the problem? And he said, because he never chose. He never did really what he did. If he drink, let him drink. If he doesn't want to drink, let him not drink. But this way of letting the situation choose for him, he was never fully in what he was doing. So in a sense, he was not mindful, he was not present, not taking responsibility for what he was doing. And I think that's also clear a little bit this way of taking responsibility for what we are doing, for not willing to be present sometimes, not believing it because habituation or something like that, taking responsibility. Okay, so now there is time for walking meditation, just exploring, and then there will be another sitting.